interesting, Luther himself, before he sort of appreciated the reality of the gospel, held this view of God's righteousness also. And as a monk, he began sort of puzzling about that phrase because he asked himself the question, how is it good news that God is an absolutely just God? I look at myself and I'm full of sin. I deserve God's judgment. How is it good news for me to be reminded that God is one who punishes wrongdoing? And it is this kind of puzzling that Luther went through that led to his breakthrough, in which he understood the righteousness of God to be not an attribute of God, but rather the gift God gives to humans. A righteousness from God. This has been a very popular way then of understanding the phrase, particularly in Protestant Christianity, but not only in Protestant Christianity. Righteousness, a status of being right with God that he gives me by virtue of my faith in Christ. Attribute, status, there's a third option as well. This would be to view righteousness of God as an activity of God. God acting to put people in right relationship with himself. The righteousness that is being enacted or is being actively brought into our experience by God. Now, the debate about these three options goes on, and there's no sign that it's going to end anytime soon. Let me just say that here's a case where I want to try to have my cake and eat it twice, hopefully without getting indigestion in doing so. I think there's something about all three of these that has some measure of truth in it. But let's look a little bit at Old Testament background, first of all. Consider, for instance, Psalm 50, verses 4 to 6. Talking about God, who summons the heavens above and the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather to me, God says, this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice. Now here, God's righteousness clearly has to do with his acting on the basis of his own character to do what is right. He will vindicate the faithful. If you look at the context of this psalm, verse 15 talks about that. And God will condemn the wicked. Again, verses 16 to 23 in this psalm talk about that. So there is clear Old Testament basis for the idea of God as a God who acts rightly, who always does what is just and right in terms of his own character. Something then of an attribute. Here's another text, however, in the prophets, Isaiah 51, in verses 4 to 8. Here the prophet is talking about what God is going to do to reverse the fortunes of the people of Israel. They're in exile. They're suffering away from their homeland. They're longing to return to their land again. God promises in these latter chapters of Isaiah that he is going to bring them back and be their God in a special way again. Now, in Isaiah 51, then, listen to what God says through the prophet. Verse 5, my righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way. Same point is made later in the text in verse 8. My salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Now here, the language of righteousness is closely related to the language of salvation, obviously. Salvation has to do with God's intervening to save his people, bring them back from exile, settle them again securely in their land. And the language of God's righteousness can therefore refer to that same kind of thing, suggesting the idea a little bit, it seems to me, of an activity that God is doing to save and to vindicate his people. Finally, we have hints of the idea.